I'm so ambitious. I'm looking back. I'm running a race, and you're the book I read. So, hello there. It is time for Get Lit.
Happy second Monday of the month.
Happy second Monday of the month from 4:30 to 5. I know that you have it marked on your calendar. This is Ape on the Dink that's having trouble with her microphone, even though you can't see me. But anyway, I am here with Erin Goblack.
Hey, Erin. Yay. Hello. How are you, Ape on the Dink?
I am doing well, and we have a special fun guest today.
Hi, sure Susie. Do.
Hi.
And how are you today, Susie?
I'm fabulous. Thank you.
Good. We're happy to have you here in studio.
Thanks.
We want to let you know that support for Get Lit on KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrew and local seasonal food. Open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday. I'm going to cough because I'll tell you about it in a minute. Anyway, they are open Sunday through Thursday from 11 to 10 p.m. and Friday and Saturday until midnight. Beer Works is a proud participating restaurant in the 4th Annual Marble Throwdown this Wednesday evening. More info at CarbondaleBeerWorks.com or on Facebook. And no, I wasn't coughing because I was getting lit. Do not think that. But we have happy hour food in here today from Carbondale Beer Works. And it just hit my throat right then.
Of course.
Spicy.
Of course, because you were on the air. So
yeah, of course
you
it did,
had
right?
to get a little
oh my
frog
gosh.
In your throat.
So they offer some great food over there. And one of the things they have is hot wings. They make a hot wing sauce with one of their beers called On a Whim, but we got the vegan version. So these are tofu bites, breaded and fried, because that's what the best thing to do with tofu is. And they are tossed in a spicy, fantastic sauce. So we have a happy hour food here today, and we'll talk about our drink later. But hey, hi.
Hi.
How's everybody doing?
Fabulous.
Great.
Good.
What was the book we read, April?
It was called The Hidden Life of Trees, which I kept telling everybody it was The Secret Life of Trees.
It's okay.
So they probably had a hard time finding it with that description. But it's called The Hidden Life of Trees, and it was written by, you say it, Peter?
I know, I was practicing this earlier. I think it's Peter Wohlleben.
Wohlleben?
He's German, we're probably butchering it. There you go.
Wohlleben.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wohlleben. Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go.
Peter.
Yes. And it's amazing. And am I mistaken? I don't know. The librarian, when I picked it up at our local library here in Carbondale, told me that it's part of a series. And I had somebody else tell me that there are books called The Hidden Life of Plants, The Hidden Life of
I don't know if they are all from
connected.
Him. I feel like he's written a couple other ones, but I don't necessarily know that this is a series from this book.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. But it's amazing is all I have to say. This was Erin picked this book, and
it was one. I feel like at a previous job, I feel like I bought it for a boss of mine. He had heard about it and was interested, and ever since I had purchased it for him, I was like super nerdy about, my gosh, I need to get this book about trees. It sounds so dreamy, and it was super dreamy.
In fact, I just asked before we started here if reading out of the foreword, because it's not actually by the author, but I feel like it really sets the tone. So I'm going to read a little bit that just says, we read in fairy tales of trees with human faces, trees that can talk and sometimes walk. This enchanted forest is the kind of place I feel sure that Peter Wohlleben inhabits. His deep understanding of the lives of trees, reached through decades of careful observation and study, reveals a world so astonishing that if you read this book, I believe that forests will become magical places for you too.
Yeah, and I feel like that's exactly what he did. And I was on the basis of that. So there was when I was reading different reviews or thoughts about the book, there was some controversy about how much he anthropomorphized the trees. That's a big word. And he said that he did specifically do that to create, you know, this emotion and, you know, this language that they have, but also that everything he wrote was based on scientific facts. And just so everybody knows, he was a state forester who was in the logging industry, but now looks after a forest on behalf of the community in, I believe, Hummel, Germany is where it is. And the machinery is banned in that forest and the trees are left alone. So he was born in 64, and I believe that he started this work in the 80s or 90s. So he's had a lot of time to observe trees in his forest and really get a good idea of, you know, what he's talking about. Not just, this seems like this is what's happening. No, he spent time.
No, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, honestly, Hummel, I think that's, they probably make those Hummel figurines, right?
Oh, Hummel, sure. Right? That makes, okay. I haven't been to Germany yet. I wonder if they, yet,
make,
but yeah,
they make figurines of trees.
Oh, there. That would be, oh, that would really, really, but only, well, so, but that's the thing. This book is really interesting because you start looking at trees and living plants so differently, you know. It's this whole idea of, you know, I'm a vegan, so I'm like, oh, I don't hurt things, but but after reading this, yeah, it's like, but plants, you know, they have whether they have emotions or thoughts like we do, they still have communication. They talk through the roots and the electronic currents that are going through the ground and through the fungi that help create the system. They take care of their babies, and one thing he says in there is that it's hard for us, we're so fast paced as a society and as a creature, that it's hard for us to realize, but trees are slow moving. You know, a tree that's 150 years old is super young still. And to us, that's really old. So it's a different way of thinking about time and about the creatures.
I think it was absolutely amazing what you just said. And I'm sure we'll, you know, delve a little deeper. But from basically from the first chapter, I started looking at trees differently.
Yeah.
Absolutely started looking at them differently, and it's amazing the thoughts that he like makes trees mm-hmm. seem to have. I mean, they do things on purpose,
right?
They're not just reactive,
exactly.
They plan things out. And another thing that it made me think of is I actually feel really almost feel bad for, like, what do you want to say, like the trees that are the orphan trees. I almost,
so
like,
he called them the, like, the street kid.
Yeah,
trees.
The street kid.
And you think, oh, these are, you know, these trees that we put in our yard and on Main Street, they're so beautiful. And they certainly are. But when you start realizing how trees grow and how they communicate together, you think, oh my gosh, this poor thing is just out here. It doesn't have parents or anybody to take care of it. It's not getting any of the information through the root system.
Yeah. And it's surrounded in concrete.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was, I think at the same time I was reading this book, I read an article about trees being taken down because they were hurting some sort of plumbing system. Or piping, and they couldn't figure out why the roots were going towards the piping, and they realized it was because the soil around the piping was more loose than the compact ground that everybody had been walking on, so the roots were just trying to find a space that they could branch out and reach out to. And it was so interesting.
In my childhood neighborhood, we had this whole grove, well, it was a small grove of aspen trees just in the middle of this cul-de-sac, and they started getting into people's pipes, so they took them down.
I know, and it's sad. And you're like, really the trees are just doing what trees do, right. We just don't have the proper, we're not proper really planning it and putting them in the right spaces for them to thrive successfully. So it was really, it really made me look at things differently. And especially these old growth forests, I started thinking, you know, where we live, we're so lucky to live in a place that we're surrounded kind of by old growth forests.
Right.
And the difference between the coniferous and the deciduous, and how they, even when it rains, how the rain goes down their trunks, and how it pools at the base, and the function of that. And it's so, I just love this book.
But at the same time, I mean, when you think about lodgepole pines specifically, they are the most susceptible to beetle, the pine beetle.
Mm-hmm.
And the real issue with the pine beetle is it goes in and it lays its eggs. And when the larvae hatch, their first source of food is the inside of the tree itself.
Right.
And that's not actually what kills the tree. It's the flushing out of the sap where the tree is trying to get rid of these little bugs. And so it gets rid of its life source.
It's,
and all
it's
the,
putting all the energy to that.
Right, exactly, exactly. All of its lifeblood. And that's why, I mean, Summit County's a matchbox. They turn that purpley ready color because they don't have, what is it, chlorophyll? Whatever it is that makes...
I know chlorophyll makes them green. So
that's, what I, that's what I'm talking about. I just don't want to say...
Chlorophyll is necessary for photosynthesis, which is how they turn the sunlight into energy in their body.
Right.
So I'm going to read this little... This is from chapter 3. Gardeners often ask me if their trees are growing too close together, won't they deprive each other of light and water? This concern comes from the forestry industry. In commercial forests, trees are supposed to grow their thick trunks and be harvest ready as quickly as possible. And to do that, they need lots of space and large symmetrical rounded crowns. And this is like he goes definitely into depth in more than one area in this book that trees actually, you know, they grow like a family, and like there's mothers in the forest that like they purposely shade their and younger
they
stunt, ones.
They don't stunt the growth, but no. they make it slower.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. they're growing oh. slower.
And they can provide, they can build those thick trunks over time.
Yeah. So
to support them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was trying to find it here. I don't know if, I know that you're very much better at taking notes than I am.
Oh,
being,
please.
Being the prepared one. And we were just saying, I just live in chaos. I'm finishing the book as I run down the hallway chaos. To the studio.
I know.
But, oh, how many? Okay. So somewhere in the book, and I'll try to find it while we're talking about something else if you don't have it. How many? Each tree only produces like one offspring in every, or like ever well, or something.
Well, when you think about the likelihood of them, or the, you know, the percentage of being able to continue the species on, when, you know, they talk about, you know, the wind carrying the seeds away or animals carrying them away, and that this funny idea of like different creatures like squirrels or something, they help the trees because they bury all these nuts hoping they'll remember, and of course they don't remember where they buried half of them, and so we get trees
oh,
from the
that.
Squirrels yeah. yeah, it's really cool. One thing you were just touching on really quick, April, I made a note about this. It just says, much like human families, tree parents live together with their children, communicate with them, and support them as they grow, sharing nutrients with those who are sick or struggling, and creating an ecosystem that mitigates the impact of extremes of heat and cold for the whole group. As a result of such interactions, trees in a family or community are protected and can live to be very old. In contrast, solitary trees, like street kids, have a tough time of it, and in most cases die much earlier than those in a group.
Oh,
so that's where the whole family, it's so, I loved how he anthropomorphized it, I'm not saying that right, yeah. to help us connect and relate better. It's so interesting.
Well, like in, he talks about that, say a tree falls or is cut down, that the other family members will feed the tree trunk for years and years and keep the trunk alive.
Yeah.
Here's real quick, what I was thinking, it says, every 5 years, a beech tree produces at least 30,000 beech nuts.
Each year.
Damn. But from these, exactly one will develop into a full-grown tree.
Wow.
So those are some harsh odds.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I'm a huge fan of Mother Nature, and people are like, oh, Mother Nature's so gentle, but she's not gentle.
Yeah. Oh. Well, and you know, even lodgepole pine, going back there, because their pine cones can't open unless exposed to heat.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And
exactly.
So if we don't let the forest burn,
which,
the lodgepole pine.
I'm so glad you said that, because I don't know if people out there have been listening to our show, but the first book we read was called The Girl with All the Gifts. And it relates to this whole idea of, she was talking about these spores, these pods that needed to be caught on fire to be able to open up and propagate this whole new world. So it's exactly relating back to this book and that whole idea of, the seeds have
that to. A zombie book.
Oh, cool.
But where we have to have a little bit of destruction, that that fires in the forest aren't necessarily bad.
Right,
they help
right.
rejuvenation.
Yeah. When Mount St. Helens went off, I mean, the way the forest took off after that eruption, I mean, it was amazing.
It can be intense for the humans, but nature
will find a way.
Right.
hey, real quick, before we go too far, what's our drink today, by the way?
I was just going to say that. So because we are talking about lovely green, maybe chlorophyll-y, piney things, we thought we would do a gin and tonic recipe today. So not super difficult, but a gin and tonic is a highball cocktail made with gin and tonic water poured over ice. It's usually garnished with a slice or a wedge of lime, and the amount of gin varies according to taste. Suggested ratios are 1:1 or 1:3, depending on how intense you like your drink.
Right on.
And nice. Were you gonna tell us about gin, April?
No. Well, yeah.
Gin.
So gin is basically vodka, which it's made it's vodka that's flavored with
The berries.
The berries.
Oh, interesting.
With juniper berries.
I keep wanting to say elderberry.
juniper berries.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's flavored vodka that's flavored with juniper berries off of trees. So those little like silvery, tiny berries that are on some of the conifer, it's on a juniper tree. But they collect those, and they actually, I mean, we have people local here on Main Street that make gin, and I've heard stories about them going on hikes and they just fill their pockets with the local juniper berries, and that's what they use to make their gin.
That's awesome.
So I love that idea that you actually, I wonder if you can just flavor your own at home, like you do vinegars.
If you know, I guess if you know enough about distilling, you probably could.
Yeah.
That's really interesting to me, though, because vodka is supposed to be the liquor that has the least damage, or I guess inflicts the least damage on your body. And gin is supposed to be on the other side of that scale.
Oh, that's interesting.
The most harmful. So those juniper berries, you know? And I mean, I don't really have a source there apart from alcoholic friends who just have to drink vodka because they've destroyed their body so much. It's the only thing they can handle, you know? And I'm going to have to do more research on gin now because I've heard that it's right.
And then we were talking about the tonic water. I said, I want to know it. So tonic water, which is a carbonated soft drink, it's flavored with quinine. Originally used as a prophylactic against malaria, tonic water usually now has a significant lower quinine content and is consumed for its distinctive bitter flavor. Yeah, because quinine is one of those things that actually isn't good for you in high quantities.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so that's interesting too. It's like one of those things that's like, it's good for a little bit of it, but don't indulge too heavily in the quinine.
We are really good as a society about doing that. Just have a little bit.
The sun is nice. I'm just going to lay out there for a week and see what
with
happens.
With oil all over my body.
Yeah, baby oil. Oh gosh, growing up at the beach, what was it? We used to mix the baby oil with something else that just made it even worse. Really? I can't even remember.
Oh God.
But oh gosh. Well, yeah. Iodine or something crazy. Oh, yeah, it was craziness. And then we had bottles of Spritz bottles full of water and lemon juice that we would spray on our hair.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we did that.
I've got a friend who puts aloe and lemon juice on her hair.
You put that on your hair to lighten your hair.
Yeah.
And then olive oil was always a really big one. Well, olives are dark.
That's kind of like, that's what's going to bake you. Yeah. You put olive oil on things to eat and cook. You're going to roast your skin off.
Yeah.
Jeez.
As we said, a little bit is sometimes just stay with that little bit. Just stay with that little bit. Right.
Moderation.
Yeah.
The other fun thing about tonic water is it glows under UV lights. It glows blue.
Way too much of that because I know
you glow blue.
I glow a little bit.
I'm sort of radiating.
Yeah, right. That's where that's coming from.
That's where that blue tint comes from.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Hey, if anybody's read this book, by the way, give us a call and you can talk to us about it. 963-2976 is the studio hotline. 963-2976. And you can talk to us about this amazing book, The Hidden Life of Trees, which is what we're discussing right now on Get Lit.
Yeah, and I have to say, I know not everybody loved this book. There was a DJ in last week, and I was telling her that we were reading it. She goes, I could not get through it. So it's not for everybody, I
apparently
guess.
She was wrong. I honestly have to say that I had more people come and talk to me about this book than any before. Hey, you can talk for a minute. And
yes, please. We're getting our very first call ever, I think. That's super exciting.
That's super exciting.
Since January, and no one's called in to talk about these books with us. So I'm really hoping they are. So, Susie, you said you have not read the book yet.
I have not.
Had you heard of it before today?
Actually, no. Yeah, I've heard about the sort of science behind, animals being able to communicate. Consciousness is consciousness, you know?
It's really weird to think about, isn't
right,
it?
Right, right.
And the whole idea of, they can emit scents or to warn other trees in the area, or they can make their, leaves taste bitter.
Interesting.
So there was so much about the communication between them that you just kind of walk by and don't think about.
Right. Well, and it makes me think of coral and how much, those societies are so
we take it for granted that there's so much going on.
Right. I don't wear sunscreen at the beach because it kills the coral.
I think we have a caller. Do we have a caller?
Ooh. Do we?
Did I knock her off?
Oh boy.
You know, we finally get a caller.
Call back.
And what do? I thought I hit the wrong. Call me back. I missed you.
We're rookies over here. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. I can't even believe I did that.
Oops. Do you know if the person had read the book or not?
She said she wanted to get in on the conversation.
Oh, I
can't even believe I did that. So
it's
call
okay,
us back.
April.
Call us back.
Yeah, we want to hear what you think about the book.
Oh,
she's calling. Okay, great. And the other thing was, I believe that this, Peter, like I said, is from Germany. So I believe that this book was first written in German, and it came out in 2016, and it was so popular that it's been translated into a ton of different languages.
I love that.
Oh, I think our caller's here. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi there.
Oh, hi. Who are we talking to?
This is DJ Hill calling. How are you, ladies?
Oh, hi, DJ. We're great. How are you today?
Doing well. Hey, I got to thank you both because I don't think I would have read this book had you not recommended it. And I am totally and completely amazed at what
Yay,
I didn't know about
you.
Right?
Yay.
Right?
No, I just said that I actually had people coming up to me. Well, we had our wonderful Dandelion Day on Saturday. And I actually had a couple people come up to me at Dandelion Day and say, oh, my gosh, you put that on Facebook. We're reading that book right now. And, you know, that was great to hear.
That's absolutely fantastic. So I probably have missed some of your conversation. I was driving, but I think what struck me the most about this was the part where it talked about that trees synchronize their performance, so they're all equally successful.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I mean, they want every tree to thrive, and I thought, huh, we could learn a fair amount from from that concept, couldn't we? So
I think that's very true.
Right? Yeah. So that's what I wanted to share.
We were kind of touching on that earlier because we were saying that they talk about in the book how even a tree that's either, you know, fallen naturally or been cut down, that the other trees will keep that trunk alive, you know, that little tree trunk or whatever is how you call it, right? You know?
Yeah.
They'll feed it sugar and send it whatever it needs to keep that little trunk
even though it doesn't have leaves.
Yeah, exactly.
From the sun anymore.
Yeah. They found like
it'll be impossible. Yeah.
No, go ahead, DJ.
It'll be impossible to walk through the woods and not be looking at all the ways the trees are supporting each other and
absolutely,
you know, doing all the things that they do. Hey, and by the way, my hubby called me because he's listening to you, my hubby Bob, and he said, were you guys talking about juniper berries?
Yes.
if you eat juniper berries by themselves, did you already talk about this?
No.
They are like poisonous.
Well, that's what we were talking about. That's what they flavor gin with. But that like a little bit, because we were talking about the quinine also, because quinine in large quantities isn't good for you. But yes, and then Susie made the comment that gin is like the opposite end of the spectrum as being like...
Not healthy
for your body, you
know. It's supposed to be the liquor that's the most damaging to your body. And vodka is supposed to be the best, like the cleanest, you know. So.
And basically all gin is flavored vodka. It's flavored with a juniper berry. So that's interesting.
I'm so happy that you said that. Yeah. It makes me feel less crazy.
You need to lay off of that gin.
I guess so.
Jeez, Susie.
Oh,
yes.
So much important information for Carbondale. Do you know that?
Well, that's what we try. We try. That's what we're here for. Yes. So thank you, DJ, so much. And congratulations on your book being picked up and is now available on Amazon. We featured DJ's book of poetry last month on our
Homespun and Mercies.
There you go. Homespun Mercies on Get Lit. And it is now available wherever you buy books.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Ladies. Appreciate it. And really enjoy yourself.
All right. Thank you so much, DJ. Thanks for calling in.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Well, you know. Is this our fifth show? You know what? You know what I figured out? Our first show was January.
Yeah. So we're calendar.
So this is five shows, and we just got our first caller. So we're like the trees.
We're slow at it.
We're growing a little slow, but that's okay because you know
strong.
What? That means we're growing strong. That's what we've learned today.
Yeah, we're growing
strong. So we've got about 5 minutes left, and we're gonna play a fun song at the end. If you're a regular listener, you do know that we start out with such a great song from the Talking Heads, calling the book we read. Or the book I read. And then we always finish up with a song that kind of coincides with what we read.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be closing out with Tree Hugger by Kimya Dawson and Antsy Pants. And it's off of the Juno soundtrack. We never get to say what the song is. I always just play it. So.
And then I wanted to remind our listeners, too, that next month's book is going to be Educated by Tara Westover.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting book. I don't think it's a memoir, but it is kind of based off of a true story. Super interesting. So Educated by Tara Westover is on next month's agenda. So check it out. It's a good one. I've already read it from the library, of course, because as April would tell you, I'm a geek. So if you have or have not read it, please call in and share your thoughts with us. Susie, it was a pleasure having you in the studio today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hopefully you learned some things about, you know, juniper berries and
I'm definitely
trees.
Gonna read
you brought
this book.
You brought your well-stocked knowledge.
No, I mean, I just have fun facts. If I get to use them, then they're not just wasting space.
Right, exactly. You know? You're like, it's not empty stuff. Right. I wanted to let everybody know that support for Get Lit on KDNK comes from Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrew and local seasonal food. Open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Friday and Saturday until midnight. BeerWorks supports numerous nonprofits like KDNK and hosting events like Bingo Night and Music Trivia for the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. More info at CarbondaleBeerWorks.com or on Facebook.
All righty. Thank you for listening to Get Lit.